The scripture of this service is the 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 to 9, and 25 to 38. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am, however. Each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to widows that is good for them if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now, concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who, by the mercy of the Lord, is trustworthy. I think, then, that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they didn't weep, and those who rejoice as though they didn't rejoice, and those who buy as though they didn't possess, and those who use the world as though they didn't make full use of it. For the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to seek your undistracted devotion to the Lord. But if any man thinks that he is acting unbecomingly toward his virgin daughter, if she is past her youth, and if it must be so, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let her marry. But he who stands firm in his heart, being under no constraint, but has authority over his own will, and has decided this in his own heart, to keep his own virgin daughter, he will do well. So then both he who gives his own virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the members of 9,000 branch churches in the United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Brazil, Bolivia, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, Japan, Mongolia, China, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, the Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Israel, Palestine, Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, Congo, Gabon, Angola, Botswana, Swaziland, South Africa, Burkina Faso, Liberia, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, Italy, Greece, Russia, Sweden, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine, Dagestan, and local sanctuaries in Korea. And members who are attending this service through satellites and the internet, and GCN TV viewers and Manmin TV viewers. As the end draws near, the world is increasingly filled with sins, evil, and darkness. Lawlessness prevails and love cools down. People neither endure nor sacrifice themselves, but they are impatient, betray each other, and follow pleasure. We frequently hear the news about immoral things that we never would have heard just 40 or 50 years ago. People are getting stained by more sins and darkness, so that we aren't as shocked anymore to hear such news about wicked things. One of the things that reflect this age the best is the change in the view about the love between a man and woman and about marriage. The world has become very sexually immoral and corrupt. They follow their lusts, defiling themselves, but they think it is love. As boys and girls begin to date each other at earlier and earlier ages, they don't hold to chastity. Even if they get pregnant, they just kill their own babies in abortions. And they don't know how grave it is Many people get married easily and easily get divorced. They just do not think about the pain that it causes their children. If they truly children, if they can think about the suffering that their children may suffer from, then they would not get easily divorced like that. Some even consider the formalities of marriage too inconvenient. So they just meet somebody and live together and they break up easily. But children of God must not follow such a trend of darkness. So you have to put away your old self and you become a renowned, a newborn child of God. You should not follow the trend of the world. Why? Because you are light. The world is darkness. It is absolutely different. We have to keep our bodies and hearts holy and pure as God desires of us. Our purpose shouldn't be just drinking and eating on this earth, but we have to put our hope in the kingdom of heaven. And so today, I will talk to you about the biblical view on marriage. Not only those who are single, but also those who have already gotten married and started families should understand this correctly and clearly. And the servants of God and workers should correct understanding of this. In doing so, in the name of the Lord, that I urge you to live a valuable life in the Lord and a beautiful life in the sight of people. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the beginning, God created man in His own image. God created a man and a woman and let them become one body and form a family by multiplying and increasing in number. In the providence of human cultivation, through which He wanted to gain true children, God let them give birth to many children and spread out on the earth. By then, there were few people. And through the great flood of Noah, so many people died. So they have to multiply. So people think it's natural to find a spouse and get married when men and women reach adulthood. The husband and wife who have become one body have to live together, fearing God and cultivating truthful and spiritual love. But what God is really pleased with is different from these general thoughts. Today's scripture in the first part of the 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, we can find the will of God on this matter. It reads, "Yet I, the Apostle Paul, wish that all men were even as myself am." Paul said he wanted everyone to be devoted to the Lord without getting married. Then, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 26, he said, "I think then that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is." About 2,000 years ago, Apostle Paul, who knew the heart of God more than anybody, said like this, "Now, we are living in the end time of the world. Truly, it is the end time of the world." Unlike the Old Testament days, after Jesus came, the New Testament times have been a time of distress. That is, since the Lord's second coming is near, all the believers should have their focus on the Lord who is coming again. And the Apostle Paul actually lived only for the Lord without getting married. He met the Lord when he was young. And unlike Peter, he remained single for the Lord, since he knew the heart of the Lord. That's why he could freely go everywhere to preach the gospel. So he didn't worry about family, wife, and children. Freely, he could preach the gospel. Reverend Myeongho Chang in Africa, he lost his son. While he was doing his ministry, his son, who was in Seoul, died. Father God called his spirit. But Reverend Chung, his wife, gave thanks to God. Especially Reverend Chung gave thanks to God. He knew the heart of God. If his son had lived till today, he could have worried about his son. But Father God took his son away and called his son to his kingdom, because that is the blessing for Reverend Chung, so that he can freely work. But you should not misunderstand this. It doesn't mean that they could get married in the Old Testament and people shouldn't get married in the New Testament because the Lord's coming is near. It's not that. Whether in the Old Testament or New Testament times, it is all right to get married in the Lord. But if you want to live for the Lord without getting married, it is a situation that is more blessed. So it is more blessed, okay? So if you just read the chapter 7 of the 1 Corinthians, well, it is called the marriage chapter. The Deuteronomy chapter 28 is called the chapter of blessing. But the 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is the chapter of marriage. So you don't have to worry about how to manage your married life. Just refer to chapter 7 of the 1 Corinthians. Of course, many the patriarchs got married and gave birth to children in the providence of human cultivation. Patriarchs such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had to get married and gave birth to children so the nation of Israel could be formed. Also, in the case of Moses, he was so busy looking after the lives of so many people that his life was overstressed. Since Moses needed somebody with a good heart who could serve and give comfort to him, God prepared just the right woman for him. However, the Bible doesn't say anywhere that the prophets like Elijah or Elisha were married. They had no need to marry. So if you read the Bible, there is no record that Elijah or Elisha got married. They prayed fervently and they preached the gospel. I mean, they delivered the prophecies of Father God. Since they were unmarried, they were completely free to accomplish the works of God. Also, in the case of John the Baptist, he laid down his whole life before God in dedication to preparing the way for Jesus. Even when he was young, he ate honey and lotus, and he prepared the way for Jesus. Jesus said that this man, John the Baptist, was the greatest of all men born of woman. In the case of Jesus' disciple, the Apostle Peter, the Bible records that he had a wife. The 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 5 says, "Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas or Cephas?" Reading this verse, you can see that some other apostles in addition to Peter were also married. But if these apostles had met the Lord Jesus and chosen to completely dedicate their lives as apostles at an earlier point in their lives, they probably would not have taken wives. Because they met the Lord after they got married. What about the prophetess Anna? She became a widow 7 years after she got married. She lost her husband at a young age, so she could have also remarried. But because she loved God, she chose to live alone and remain in the temple for a long time, rather than searching for a new husband. She spent 84 years in the temple, fasting and praying without getting married again. Since she was a woman, She must have worried about what to eat and what to wear and where to live. Nowadays, you know, women got a better chance to live their lives financially well. But in those days, the women had a hard time to manage their lives alone. Because she was such a woman, she received the grace to recognize the baby Jesus who came as the Savior. She was praying and fasting in the temple. So we can see how pure her heart was. She had no form of evil. So that's why she recognized baby Jesus who came as the Savior. What about Prophet Samuel? He was taken to the temple. He grew up in the temple. So he couldn't have any contact with the world. He only prayed and studied the Word of God. That's why at the early age, she could listen to the voice of God. But he couldn't discern because he was so young. When God called him, he heard it. He was able to see God as written in the Bible. Likewise, many people think it's natural to get married, but the Bible doesn't necessarily teach that is the case. Those of you who haven't carefully read the Bible, and some of those among you who are attending this service via media broadcast, might feel that this message is somewhat odd. Since the start of this church, I've never talked about the marriage. I might have explained during the lecture on the 1 Corinthians. I've never advised anyone to get married or not to get married. If I advise people to get married, it is not on the Bible. And I rather said, if you can stop your daughter getting married, it is better and it is more blessed. But I didn't say that to many people because I know it may make others, you know, in trouble, burning with passion. I heard there are some churches in asking their congregation to get married. It is against the Bible. Apostle Paul said it is better not to get married. Apostle Paul was the one who could understand the heart of God more than anybody. But this is not according to my word, but the word of God written in the Bible. It is the will of God which the Apostle Paul wrote in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In fact, today, few pastors will deliver this kind of message. That's because there aren't very many believers who love the Lord to the extent they are able to accept and practice the contents of such a message. If they truly believe, then they would accept this word with thanks. But there aren't many such believers. That's why. Matthew 19, verses 11 and 12 says, "But he said to them, not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb. And there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. There were some people who were to serve the kings. They were eunuchs, okay? And there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. There are many in this country. Some Catholic priests made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God. And there are nuns, the Catholic nuns, who chose to become, remain virgins for the Lord. Because they remain single, they are all called eunuchs, okay? He who is able to accept this, let him accept it. For the Lord, for God, and for the kingdom of heaven. Those who can accept this, let them accept it. Those who have hope for New Jerusalem, accept it. I'm not forcing you. Eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven are those who dedicate themselves like the Apostle Paul, remaining single. What if Apostle Paul didn't see paradise? He might have married, but he saw paradise. There are many in this church who saw heaven with spiritual eyes. Those who saw angels and the spiritual things of the spiritual realm. There are many. In Cana Mission, I think, the president of United Cana Mission, he has very clear spiritual visions. So he said he decided not to get married. His wish is to go to the best place in heaven. So he said he decided to become, to remain single. I think I met him today or yesterday. So I have to confirm. So I asked him and he said yes. For the kingdom of heaven, he made himself eunuch. Whenever I see such people, I am so touched. If I had known God before I got married, if I had known heaven before I got married, I might have devoted more of myself for the kingdom of God. For the family, for the relatives, I might have shed tears for the family. If Apostle Paul had gotten married, he must have worried about their family, his family, and children. It is the most blessed way for the believers, only if they can choose to remain single. But not everybody can receive this word. If you do not have all your hope only in New Jerusalem, or if you cannot live only for God, then you might find it difficult to listen to this message. And there are those who do not truly feel the love of God, even though they heard the love of God in this church. They know it by knowledge. But they don't understand it correctly. But when you fervently pray and devote yourself to God, then you can understand the heart of God. I was so sick, and I was so severely poor. I lived a miserable life. I was ignored by my own family when I was sick. But when I met the Lord, I was happiest. And I decided to live only for the Lord and God, even when I was a baby Christian. Because nobody could my life back to me. Nobody could console my heart. Nobody could encourage me. Because I was useless. I was so sick and I was useless. I had no hope. But God met me and healed me and let me know heaven. How can I give thanks? How can I not give thanks to God? While I was reading the Bible, Father God says, love your God most, more than anything else. So when I read such word, I was so filled with emotion. That's right. Father God didn't forsake me. He remembered me. He saved me. He healed me. I would devote myself for Father God. I made such a decision, and I know it is a blessing. And I came to know why I should love God. So I came to love Father God more than anyone, than my wife, than my children. This is the will of God, and this is the Bible. That's why I wanted to live like that, and I have lived like that. But those who cannot accept it, they may feel difficult. We have Canaan mission, Paul's mission, and Mary's mission. And they are those who do not want to get married for the kingdom of God. We have women, ladies servant of God. They devote their lives for the kingdom of God and for the Lord. I believe there is no female servant of God who didn't know they couldn't get married after they became a servant of God. There are many interesting testimonies. A young man came to me and he said he was so touched by the sermon of Pastor Sun-shin Kim. She graduated from Seoul National University and she promised to marry him. And both her family and his family agreed to get married. But there is reason she didn't get married. I'm not sure how she came to this church. She heard the word of God in this church. After he heard this word of God, he said, this is it. This is what I live for. She made a decision like that. And she came to this, she started to come to this church. I may try to give her time to testify to her testimony. So, her fiancé was also graduated from Seoul National University. And he was Catholic. And he asked her to come to chapel that he went to. Then Pastor Kim, said he would not come out of this Manmin church. And then her fiancé, who used to be so good and kind and gentle, said he would burn this church. And she was in a crossroad where whether she had to choose a way of flesh, a way of spirit. And she announced that she would not get married. He used to be so good to her. But she saw her fiancé changed greatly, so violent. So she made a decision. She said she would not get married. And she feared she would meet a man like him again. And her mother also agreed that she would not get married. Of course, that there was another reason for her mother to agree. Because her mother didn't manage a good, you know, marriage life with her husband. And then she saw it. So her mother said, it's okay not to get married. So I heard that that's why she remains. She has remained in single. And now she became a pastor of this church. That's why Father God opened her spiritual eyes so that she could be encouraged. But if you are filled with the hope for New Jerusalem, long for holiness with faith, then you will certainly be able to receive this word. Why? Because the Bible clearly says it is more blessed. When I prayed, Father God said this. It is a shortcut to go to New Jerusalem. I think I will tell you why in the next week. Why it is more blessed. Because you are not bound to anything. You are free. You can freely work for God. And you have no clinging heart to the world because you made yourself eunuchs. As Jesus said, he who is able to accept it, let him accept it. You can joyfully accept this word and choose a more blessed way. You clearly learned about the kingdom of heaven and earnestly long for New Jerusalem. If you can just exchange it for New Jerusalem, you will not spare anything precious in this world. And in actuality, there are many of you who have chosen this way. There are many in the First Cana mission. They are so smart. They are so wise. They love God so much. That's why they made the decision not to get married. There are many that I know of. Of course, I'm not saying you should carelessly make a vow that you would offer your whole life to the Lord without getting married. If you can keep a vow, it is such a great blessing. If you can stand against the deception of Satan, then Father God will refine you, come to Spirit and Holy Spirit, and show you a shortcut to New Jerusalem. But if you change your mind and do not keep it, it only brings to you great trials. If you don't have the confidence about your heart, rather than making a careless vow, you have to cultivate a true heart with longing and praying. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, from now on, let us more specifically delve into why the Bible says it is better not to get married. The first reason is that, as recorded in today's scripture, verse 28, being married may lead to problems for them. The 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28 says, but if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. Since I spare you, I hope you remain single, then you may not suffer from troubles. Long ago, when daughters married and went to a distant place, the parents couldn't be comforted. They would miss their daughter and they would worry whether their daughter would be loved by her in-laws or if she had some hardships, whether she is bitten by her husband. They worry about so many things. And they sometimes surprise when the telephone rings. Because they have seen and experienced many times. Paul cared for the believers with the same kind of heart as parents who have to send their daughters off for marriage. He was worried about the troubles of marriage, and that is why he suggested it was better for them not to get married. In my secretary office, there are many who made a decision not to get married. There are four ladies in my office. There are many. They are smart and wise. They love God so much. And they have poor hope for New Jerusalem. That's why they live their life like that. I've never told them not to get married. I've never told them to get married. They made their own decision, and they live like that. Then why did he say there was trouble in marriage? First, that's because fleshly love changes. When they date each other, they seek others' benefit first, and they think their love will last forever. Most of them think like that. They think their love will last forever. Without you, I will die. I will commit suicide if it's not you. But usually, you know, people commit suicide falling from a high-rise building. Since their dates love them so much, they think they will be just as happy once they get married. But the reality is different. Fleshly love will surely change as time goes by. When two people who have different personalities, education, and who were raised in different environments for many years, when they get married, they will certainly have conflicts. They have no conflicts before they get married. But it's a different story nowadays. About 30 or 40 years ago. Nowadays it's different, I heard. We have Pastor Peter Kim from Africa. He is ministering a great church in Congo. He made himself a eunuch, not to get married. That's why he devoted his whole life for Father God's kingdom and God the Father. He is greatly accomplishing the will of God, and he is greatly loved by God. Nobody forced him. He made his own decision not to get married. He made himself eunuch, not to suffer from any kind of passion. There are some other servants of God who are like him. In order not to commit adultery, in their heart, they made themselves eunuchs. So we can say their love for souls are great. Of course, in the beginning, even bad points may appear as good points. But as time goes by, as the fervor of their love cools down, they begin to see more of the bad points more clearly. Before marriage, if other person spilled something while eating, or if she or she does not put things back where they belong, they can understand everything. But as they begin their lives together, spilling food seems annoying now. Have you experienced it? If they don't put the things in the right place, even after multiple numbers of requests to tidy up things, they get frustrated. There are toilet papers in the bathroom. Because it looks dirty, please flush the toilet. But your husband doesn't flush it. He doesn't put the things on the original place. Your husband or your wife doesn't listen to it. They made a habit like that. And they ignore it now. So husband make things messy. And their wives clean up. Before they got married, they didn't see these things. But after they got married, they started to see these kind of bad things. And they want their spouse to remember this and to correct this. And they come to have conflicts on and on. When dating, they try to do what the other person wants and to show only good points to their date. And they try to buy whatever the other wants to buy. But after marriage, they want their spouse to do what they want. They stop trying to show only goodness. So after they got married, they completely change. I mean, before marriage, they were called girls. But right after marriage, they become women. They don't consider their spouse's feeling and hurt them with unkind words. Some even become violent or verbally abuse their spouses. So not only wives are beaten up, but there are many husbands who are also abused. Those husbands are beaten because they cannot use violence against their wives. So there are many husbands who are beaten up like that. Not because they are weak. People used to say that boredom in married life would come several years after the wedding. But nowadays, it's not several years after the wedding, but at times they turn into enemies even during their honeymoon. In some cases, the man follows the woman for many years, telling her many sweet things. He pleads with the woman, saying he cannot live without her. He might even threaten her, saying that he would die if she doesn't marry him. I receive such letters. My husband beats me and persecutes me because I am going to church. He used to be a good man, good boyfriend to me. I receive such letters so many times. He might even threaten her, saying that he will die if she doesn't marry him. But once she got married with him, she became a poor wife. There are so many stories like that, even in this church. Finally, they got married, but he begins to mistreat his wife from the day of the wedding. There is a man who married, but on the first day of wedding, he gambled and drank with his friends on the first night. He left the church a long time ago, but I think the story that I'm telling you right now in this message is like the wife and husband were used to be friends in the same town for about 10 years. She kept her body, but the husband threatened her to get married. About 5, I'm not sure, about 10 years passed. So she married to her husband. I think she got married in Chungang University. Right after the wedding, she had revenge on her. She made her life miserable. He persecuted his wife. But even after they got child, he persecuted his wife. And he had another affairs with other ladies. So she finally got divorced. Now she lives with her child. I think her daughter is an elementary school student, right? How much has she regretted her wedding? He changes his mind after he gets what he wanted. This is the fleshly love, a change of heart and mind in a moment, even after loving the person for so many years. You must never believe it when somebody says he or she fell in love at the first sight. This is the same as saying that he or she has lust for you just by looking at your appearance, but not caring about your inner self at all. How can we call this is love? You gotta have spiritual love and have spiritual wedding. If you fell in love with someone at the first sight, it means you like the outlook, appearance of the man or the woman. Then it's not fleshly love. I mean, it's not spiritual love. You married to her outlook or to his outlook. A woman had a long hair, and there was a man who fell in love with her at the first sight, and they got married. You know what happened? What if she had scar on her face? What if she got weight and changed in her outlook? Now, what would happen to them? As you can guess, he changed in his mind. In the 2 Samuel chapter 13, we find an incident which clearly shows the perishing fleshly love. A prince called Amnon loved his half-sister, Princess Tamar, so much that he even got sick. You know who Amnon is, right? He is the son of King David. And Tamar, Princess Tamar, is the daughter of King David, half-sister. When Amnon's friend came to know about this, he instructed him to call Tamar to Amnon's house. because he got so sick, his friend made this wicked plan. Amnon brought Tamar to his house according to the plan, and he slept with her by force. Tamar asked him not to do it because he could take her as a wife if he just asked his father. If you ask my father, he would allow you to get married. But it is sin if you do this before getting married. So stop it. That must be what Tamar, Princess Tamar, had said. But Amnon slept with her by force. The Bible says he committed sin and did evil. Amnon didn't listen to her, but just followed his lust. Then what happened next? 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 15 says, then Amnon hated her with a very great hatred. For the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. He slept with her by force. Then he started to hate her. It is so strange, isn't it? He loved her so much, even to the extent he got extent to get sick. But after he had her body, he came to hate her so much. Tamar was crying out of shame, and so Amnon drove her away through his servants. How wretched a heart this is. Of course, this case of Amnon is extreme. But the essence is the same. Fleshly love changes. Even though you love somebody so much when you date each other, as time passes, your love cools down and you may even come to hate that person for various reasons. Those who have relatively good hearts will try to have some harmony and live together. I received so many letters of repentance, so I know many things. Sometimes there are so many miserable stories. How can a man be wicked like this? They loved their wives before they got married, but they changed right after they married. Right after the wedding. A cable TV network did a research project with wives. The question was, would you get married to your husband again if you could choose whether to marry again or not? What do you think the result was? Only 4% said they would marry their husband again. How much?
한번 대충 맞춰 보세요. 10%.
Do you think it might be over 10%? 50%? 20%? 50%?
70%?
70%? 100%? 10%만 What about 10%? 20%?
20%?
I think you know the answer, right? Since you have experienced it, right? So you might think, oh, this marriage is failure. There are only 4%. So 96 doesn't want to get married with the same husband. Or they would not get married. That's what they said. So it means, before they get married, they all said that they love each other. And I will do this for you. I will do that for you. They spoke so many, you know, sweet words. Right? I may buy in apartments. But all lies, isn't it? Before I got married, we had a beautiful plan. After I got sick, we made the plan. Once I get healed, let's do this. We will live with the money that I earn, and let's save what you earn. I think we made such a plan. We made a promise like that. And let's live like this and that. And let's start a store like this with a better plan. We had the plans like that. But the heart of people change. The plans got broken. For months, I had to live in tears. Even though I accept the Lord and got healed, and it was before the revival meeting, it was before I knew the truth. So I lived in drinking. I loved so much, but everything was destroyed. But the result is happiness. We overcame such difficulties. But later on, we came to know it is all by the grace of God. It was the providence of God. Precisely, in His foresight, everything took place. If I tell you that story, you would say, wow, how precise Father God's plan was. But it would hurt my wife's heart. But in 1982, I actually told this story to the congregation. But we were in the providence of God. So after a few years later, even though I was suffered in my heart, troubled in my heart, by the time, but later, I came to realize it was in the providence of God. It was so precise. So I was able to give thanks to God. If my wife permits me, then I will, but all the rest said they would marry another man or they would just live alone without getting married. There are so many people who wrote me letters that they would live alone. Please, husband, while listening to this message, you have to make a decision to treat your wife better and recover the love of your wife in the Lord. Not out of the Lord, in the Lord. In the truth, you should recover your wife's love. Some of them said they would just date somebody without marrying him. Some others said they wouldn't get married again because they hate their husband's family members. So you have to meet the good family. Otherwise, you will suffer. Like in this case, when people have difficulties in married life, the cause is not always with the husband or the wife themselves. If they don't like the parents or the family members of their spouse, it is also something very difficult. If the members of both families oppose their wedding, they think they can overcome anything if their love is firm enough. But after the wedding, they suffer so much. Even though the husband and wife don't have a problem, there are quite a few couples who get divorced because of the relationship with the in-laws. Dear brothers and sisters, until now, I explained that there is distress in marriage because fleshly love changes. But these difficulties are not only for the secular people. Believers also have similar problems. If you marry and live with one or the other families, then there are bound to be conflicts. Of course, believers who know the truth will try to put the blame on themselves even when they find some bad points from one another. They try to change themselves and have spiritual love. But because they have not accomplished the spirit in them yet, they will go through the trials to the extent that they have flesh. But still, when there are such physical problems, you can endure with each other. But the bigger problem is when each person is very different in spirituality. The most common example is the wives who are being persecuted by unbelieving husbands. When the wife accepts the Lord and begins to attend the church, some husbands stop giving their wives living expenses, or they even beat or verbally abuse their wives. Suppose they have similar measure of faith when they get married, but if one spouse becomes enthusiastic in faith, they might have problems from that point on. For example, the wife wants to attend only the Sunday morning service, but the husband begins to attend all worship services and nightly prayer meetings and leads a very ardent Christian life. So the wife feels somewhat disappointed by her husband's lack of attention and gives him a hard time. Of course, if the husband wisely loves and serves his wife, then the wife can also change quickly. But it's not easy. You have experienced it. But if the husband is not wise enough, or if the wife has inconsiderate heart, then the husband will suffer for a long time. When the wife has a higher level of faith than the husband, the wife will also suffer. Even if both the husband and wife have some measure of faith, each one's life is restricted by the other anyway. For example, the husband wants to give a great amount of offering for his devotional service. Or he received some great grace of God, and now he wants to become an overseas missionary. But can he do that as he wants? Before the marriage, he could give even his whole life as he wished, but the situation is very different now. He first has to think about the situation of the family, and he also has to consult with his wife. It would be good if the wife follows the will of the husband, but otherwise the wife will suffer and the peace of the family would be broken. Also, as God said, husband and wife are one body. They are one spiritually also. Thus, many times they receive the same trial of their spouse. In this church, a wife is a fervent Christian, but the husband is not. But the husband loves his wife so much. So, she made a promise with her husband. If you come to this church, then I will marry you. So the husband started to come to this church, and they got married. And now, long times, the husband changed. Even though he heard the truth, his love for his wife cooled down. Of course, you know, he is among you right now, but So until you come into spirit, it's useless. If it's not spiritual love, if you haven't come into spirit, it will eventually change. If I name this person, then you will be surprised. He is the one who is respected greatly in this church. But decades later, he doesn't love his wife now. There isn't just a couple. There are many couples like that. Sometimes I make an example like this. But some people come to me and they said, no, senior pastor talked about me, so I didn't like it. But later, I came to know, I shouldn't have done this. I received a letter of repentance like that. Sometimes, I want to deliver this message without making an example. Well, if I do that, then it is good for me because I can save some time. But how much grace can you receive from that sermon? When you receive grace and when you are appointed, you can repent. You should consider it the grace of God, the word from this podium, and the message that I deliver. I've never prepared it before this sermon. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. I deliver this message from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I just speak from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit right away, on the spot. But there are some people who judge me like that. Why don't you consider it blessing when you're appointed? This is my blessing because I am appointed. I now find something wrong. I have to fix it. And thanks to that person, thanks to that example, so many similar people can receive grace as well. There are so many similar cases in this church. And they take this message as theirs, and they can change. There are so many couples who changed after the wedding. They promised to come to this church if they want to get married. There are so many husbands like that, but they soon change. For example, the wife has prepared the vessel to receive blessings, but the husband is not right in the sight of God, and they both thus suffer together. Sometimes the wife has faith and has a good heart, but she suffers from a disease because she is connected with her husband by a spiritual cord. Because Father God makes her sick, and through the sickness, her husband can receive salvation. Sometimes Father God calls her spirit to allow her spirit live happily in heaven. And at the same time, the husband can realize and understand the heart of God and change and receive salvation later. If you know this kind of will and heart of God, you should not judge anybody when people get sick, even though they have good faith. I also feel very sorry as a shepherd when I see these believers. It would be good if they have the freedom in their life in faith, but the situations don't allow them freedom. Those who have experienced these troubles may thoroughly realize what is really good in faith. They would probably think, if I had had the faith of today before I got married, then I would have lived only for the Lord. They also think, I will not let my children suffer this way. Or when they see single, unmarried young people, they say it is something blessed not to get married. When you listen to this message, those who have fiancé or fiancé to get married, you may say, we will never change. People say they never get change. How can we change? We love to see each other. We will not change. But I receive so many letters and look around. People have changed. Look around. There are extremely few who don't change. Most of the people change. Even though they loved each other so much, they change. So the young people, you should correctly understand what fleshly love and spiritual love is. If you fall in love with at the first sight, it is fleshly love. Fleshly love can be done from your heart. As time goes by, the love goes deeper and deeper when you have spiritual love. And in the Lord, both of them should come into spirit. If they got married, after they come into spirit, they do not change, since the spirit doesn't change. And they may manage unchanging married life. So you have to correctly discern what is fleshly love and what is spiritual love. Next week, it will be more interesting. But those who have fleshly love try to sleep together before they get married. And they say, how can you call it sin? Does Father God say it is okay to have a relationship or to sleep together before you get married? It is true. It is surely true that you should get married and then you can have a first night. You can take your partner's body because you love your partner? No, if you truly love your partner, you should wait until you get married. You should wait. Then you have to control yourself. And you have to deepen your heart in love. But young people say, since we are going to get married, it is okay to sleep together. It is a sin, even if you get married after that. But there are so many people who don't get married even after they sleep together. There are many couples, 7 or 8 out of 10, they fail to get married. They promised to get married and they slept together, but they didn't get married. And people are deceived. A man and promised to get married, but the man asked to sleep together. But later, they don't get married after that. That's why I shed so many tears because of that. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the next week, I will give you more explanation in great details. Why Father God says it is more blessing not to get married. Many will be explained. Those who have hope for heaven and New Jerusalem, you should listen to this message carefully and live by the word of God. You should not deceive others. You should not be deceived. I love you, so it is okay to do this. No, it is not the will of God. You just love each other's flesh. You do not have spiritual love.
대부분이 그렇게 했던 분들이 저에게 회개 편지를 보내고 있는
거예요. Most of the people who did that sent me letters of repentance. Please do. Please love each other. And please get married the way Father God is pleased. It will be explained in the next week. Let's think over the message and pray together. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for your love and grace. Father, let your message become life and faith in their hearts. Let them make good bread out of this word. And let them become good children of heaven and our Father God. Let them not make Father God sorry. Let them only make Father God pleased. Let them have hope for New Jerusalem and adorn themselves as beautiful brides of the Lord. Help them, Father. Father, it is useless and they will regret if they committed the deeds of the flesh. They will regret. Let them not live a regretful life. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I will pray for the sick. Please lay your hand on the sick part of your body or infirmities of your body or receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. Father God, please lay your hand on them. Transcending space and time, please work on these people. Those who receive this prayer through screen, on screen, through your satellites or the internet, and all the children of God, and GCN TV viewers, and there are people who sent their pictures along with their prayer requests. Please lay your hand on their pictures. Pastor Seunggil Ryu from Japan requested prayer to bless performance of his church, Mama Angels team, kids worship dance team, and kids dance team. Let them do a great job in the festival. Let them not make mistake. Let them bring fruit from the festival. Arnold Castellante requests prayer for the healing of the effects of appendicitis operation. Ajalin Gabada, his wife, wants to be released from the after effect of the caesarean operation. Bless them so that they can come to Korea. Mu Chaeri requests a prayer to have her son healthy and drive away all the darkness. Autism, go away from Jung Wei-ryang. Run Hua requests to prayer to break down all the wall of sin before God. Please help him. Father, all the brothers and sisters, head to toe, from head to toe and every intestines and organs, lay your hand on them and burn all diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let them become healthy in spirit and in body. All the darkness, go away. May the light come. During the summer retreat, please protect them and let them experience your power and signs and wonders and miracles. Give them peace, Father. Give them peace, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.